Good afternoon, everybody. We're very privileged to have you all on the call. We announced the first half results today, and really it's my privilege to pass the word to Eugene Comendant, who's going to run the call on our behalf, and again say how grateful we are and how privileged we are to have such a strong professional with us for the last 2 months. He's doing a fantastic job, and I think he'll prove it on this call too. Eugene, the word to you.
Yeah, thank you, Vasily. So hello to everyone. This is Eugene Comendant speaking. Again, I'd like to welcome everyone on this call where we will be presenting the H1 2019 financial results of Purcari Wineries PLC. We are happy to report some very strong first half results, which I'm going to cover today in brief, at the end leaving sufficient time for your questions. We have shared with you a presentation, which is also available on our website under periodic reports, as well as on the Stock Exchange website. Before I go in the actual presentation, let me say it is truly an honor to run this call today. Now that I have been 2 months in this job as Chief Operating Officer, and I'm mostly grateful to the team here for the warm welcome, and I must say I'm really impressed of what I found here at Purcari, but I'm also very excited about the big potential ahead of us. Now I'd like to draw the attention to the extraordinary growth journey Purcari Group has had so far. So if you turn to page 9 of the presentation, you can see the historical growth track record of our company. If you see, we've nearly tripled our revenue in the previous years, in the previous 4 years, if I can be detailed, while our EBITDA grew 6 times. I must say this is truly amazing. And as we grow, we deliver on our vision to build the undisputable wine champion in the Central and Eastern European markets. Now, if you turn to page 10, you can see that wine remains a very fragmented category, and it is ripe for consolidation. We want to lead that consolidation process as we believe the wine industry is bound to follow the same path we saw in beer and spirits. And speaking of consolidation, if you turn to page 13, you can see the latest market share data in our core market, which is Romania. And as you can see, we overtook Crama Recaș as the number 4 player in Romania. Though we believe we could well be the largest of all Romanian wineries in terms of revenue generated in all markets, so also exports, by the end of 2019. On the same slide, on the right side, you can see combined both our Purcari and Crama Ceptura brands, that we are at 25% market share. And here, of course, there's also a note on the change in the Nielsen methodology for the calculation of the premium segment in Romania. As we focus on positioning Crama Ceptura as a national brand, we targeted more to the mainstream segment, while Purcari remains the undisputable leader in premium and continues to gain market share. We can now jump to the headline numbers on page 15. You can see our revenues being up 25%, while our adjusted EBITDA and net income are up 30% and 35% respectively, that being year on year. We calculate the adjusted EBITDA growth by normalizing for the IPO expenses incurred in the 2018 reporting period. Without that normalization, our EBITDA growth is actually higher at 35%. So we've normalized the expenses for the IPO in 2018, and that has led to a growth of 30 to 35%. And if we remove that normalization, the actual growth is higher at 35%. And we believe that this normalization is an important thing to do so that we can always compare apples to apples. So we also show a normalized figure for our net income due to the devaluation of the Moldovan leu we had to do a revaluation of our liabilities in Romanian lei in RON terms as of 30th June of this year, which leads to some FX non-operating expenses. So the IFRS net income grew only 7%, but we believe this is not fully representative for the true performance of the business, as the weakening of the Moldovan leu is something that benefits us long term, as it lowers our cost base and improves our margin. Overall, we look forward to seeing these benefits of the weaker Moldovan leu in the future should this continue. Now, if we jump to page 17, where we have the market by market performance, starting with the Romanian market, which is our largest, the IFRS revenue in that market puts us at a 16% growth in sales. However, it's important to note that this rate of growth is again not fully representative due to a higher comparative base last year, and this was as a result of a change in discount application practices by the key retail partners in Romania in the second quarter of 2018. Again, per our managerial accounts, our growth in Romania is actually 33%, so nearly double the IFRS numbers. In Moldova, we show decent growth, though are still not completely out of the woods with the transition of the distributorship to Coca-Cola Hellenic. Yes, there are some transition challenges, which are often inevitable in such situations, but we already see also the overall benefits of the shift to Coca-Cola Hellenic. Polo has been actually the star performer, with revenues up 47%. Still, the growth is driven by our mainstream Bostavan range, and we have a big potential ahead of us to break into the premium segment that we're looking to explore. You can see we continue to deliver growth in the 20% and even 40% in our other segments, showing a lower growth only in Ukraine. If we turn to page 18, brand-wise, I only want to draw your attention again to the Crama-Ceptura growth rate, which can again be a bit misleading. Due to the difference in comparison base in second quarter 2018 that I also mentioned earlier, with retailers changing the reporting treatment of the applied discounts, our growth is again understated. Per our managerial accounts, we grew a very solid 18% with our Crama-Ceptura brand. Moving on to page 19, to our P&L, our COGS has been impacted by somewhat higher cost of the wine base used. But as I mentioned, the weakening of the Moldovan leu also, assuming it continues, should help alleviate that in the future periods. Also, this is the effect of larger CapEx investments we made to expand our capacity. And according to the IFRS, some of the depreciation of the production facilities shows on the COGS level. On SG&A level, you can see our marketing and sales expenses growing in line with the revenues, but we show a drop in the G&A. And to avoid confusion, please take into consideration that we had the IPO cost last year, which shows in a higher base. However, even leaving those IPO costs aside, we believe we do a good job at keeping our administrative costs in check. I spoke already about the EBITDA and net income being up 30 and 35% on a normalized basis, which is very strong. And one more methodological comment, if I can say, as a relatively new public company, we recommend you analyze our first half results without breaking them down into the first quarter versus the second quarter, as some of the cost and revenue allocations right after the IPO in the first two quarters of 2018 were prone to fluctuations. As we move ahead, those fluctuations that I mentioned are less impactful now, but for the purpose of analyzing our numbers year to date, it helps to look at them on half year basis, not for each quarter individually. Jumping ahead, I want to pause on our product. Behind the strong financials we show, there are, of course, the outstanding Purcari products which consumers love and pay for. You can see on slide 20 that 8 out of top 10 wines in the 30 to 60 RON segment in Romania, as per Vivino, are the Purcari wines. This is based on thousands of reviews, which makes, of course, these numbers even more reliable. And this is, of course, a truly spectacular result. But I cannot stop here, and I must speak about the star in the Purcari portfolio, which is our Chardonnay de Purcari. You can see on page 21 that it scored 97% at the Country London, being awarded a platinum medal. And of course, this wine embodies the competitive advantage of Purcari, as it offers extraordinary value for money to our customers. You can see that at a price point of below £13 in the UK, our Chardonnay beats many much more expensive wines. In Romania, this wine retails for around €7, and it's truly an unbelievable value for money. And of course, and as I will quote our CEO and founder, that this example tells you more about the nature of our competitive advantage than any spreadsheet or financial report. Okay, so moving on to page 22. This is perhaps off topic, but there is one more piece of information we want to share with you here. As a company with roots in Moldova, we believe we have a duty to update the global capitalists like yourselves on the important changes in our government. You can see we have a new cabinet for some 2 months now. It is a young and technocratic cabinet, which won the praise of bodies like the IMF and the European Commission. The government is dominated by people who have had meaningful experience abroad at top institutions, many with a business background, speaking many foreign languages, and with a particular skew towards Harvard graduates. It's around 25% of the cabinet studied there, which is quite amazing, which may likely also be the highest such proportion of the world, I would guess. Also, it is truly remarkable that Moldova, being quite a conservative country, some 60% of the cabinet members are actually women. And lastly, if we can move on page 27, we have our guidance for the year. You can see so far we run above our guidance in terms of revenue growth, with 25% versus the 80 to 20% guidance range provided. In terms of adjusted margins, we run at the top of the guidance range, and consistent with our previous quarter, we decided to keep the guidance unchanged, despite the overperformance, as we would rather under-promise and over-deliver. So with that, I want to again thank you for your attention, and propose we now turn for questions. Again, since I'm quite new in the company, I may defer some questions to either Victor Arapan or Vasily Tofan to ensure that the full accuracy of the answers is provided.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we'll begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. And one moment for the first question, please. First question is from the line of Kathleen Diaconu of Raffison Bank. Please go ahead.
So, hello everyone. I have three questions. So, the first one be that what we've seen since early July was a strong rebound in Moldovan leu. Could you tell us what is the driver and what could be the impact of on the margins, and what should we see in the coming quarters? The second question would be if you can give us an update on what happened with the whole story with the assets from Hush. and if you can give us some other details regarding other M&A. And the third question would be if you can give us a bit more details on the hail you reported, the hail effect you reported in the second quarter report, and if anything else happened in the meantime, and what's the current status of the harvest. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Catalin, Vasilic here. I'll take the first macro question. Macroeconomics was my favorite subject at the university, so always take the opportunity to comment on it. Indeed, the Moldovan leu has rebounded a little bit. It's good for the country, not very good for the exporters. We say what we always said. It's impossible to predict where the foreign exchange will go, but we believe that fundamentally, in terms of say the quite significant current account deficit, the strong Moldovan leu is not a sustainable story. So I personally expect it to weaken and adjust. In terms of Hush, maybe I'll start because we had the board, so we had quite a detailed discussion on Hush acquisition, and I will ask Eugene and Victor to add. In short, where we stand on Hush, you may know, we acquired the debts of Raiffeisen in Hush for 1.2 million euros. To date, we returned almost 900,000 euros in terms of selling off some non-core collaterals. We continue to remain in the council of creditors. At the moment, the company is bankruptcy. Their assets have to be sold on auction. And depending on the price of those assets, we will either buy them, or if we find the price to be too high, we will just stay as creditors, and then the Hush investment will turn into a, I would say, quite attractive financial investment for us. Victor, if you, or Eugene, if you want to add anything to this.
Yes, Vasily, we add that we actually, as you said, we feel very comfortable about this investment as 75% of our investment, of our cash paid for this investment already return, and we feel very comfortable with the rest of assets that guarantee our debt. So now we are in the process, in the legal procedures for valuation of assets and the procedure to sell that assets. And when we intend to, when the procedure is finished, to participate in the auction process. So we still wait for all legal procedures to be finished in this case. Any more some questions?
Yeah, I think there was the question. No, just very briefly. I think Katarina also asked about the hail, so the kind of the ice in the Chatura region. It affected a relatively small part of our vineyards, and overall on harvest so far, we look good. So we expect a harvest at the level of last year, and with a little luck, we can also be above. What we need now is one more good rain, and then we'll beat the record of last year.
The next question is from the line of Caius Rapunu of BCR. Please go ahead.
Hello. Again, congratulations for yet another wonderful quarter. It is really interesting to see how your efforts are being rewarded quarter after quarter. So, indeed, it's one of my favorite conference calls and presentations to attend. My question is a little bit more regarding the strategy going forward, and especially about brand management, considering that your portfolio is quite large, and you are at this moment, especially in export markets, priced at a not entry, but let's say medium low level. What is your strategy going forward in acquiring eventually more premium brands, considering that indeed, as you mentioned, the market is very very fragmented, but it's fragmented for a reason, because consumers like to alternate between premium brands and let's say medium brands, and once you are recognized as a medium brand, you know, I mean, that you might have some problems going into the premium or super premium brands. And I was wondering if you have any strategy going forward in acquiring other etiquettes, other labels or not.
I'll take this one. Thank you for the question. Of course, our main strategy and at the core of our strategy is actually the product. It goes without saying that we have a fantastic product with a ratio of quality to price, which is really amazing. That really gives us a competitive advantage to really gain market share in the market that we're going into. One of the key directions, so if I go beyond the product, of course, we are focused on marketing and sales, and we look at organic growth and M&A. A key direction for us is, as we call it here internally, is to create the next Romania. Of course, we have our the Moldovan market, we have the Romanian market as let's say key strongholds, home markets that we are very strong in. And while protecting these markets, we're looking to go deeper in markets such as Poland, Ukraine, or others. But let's say these two are probably the primary target. And basically, we're looking to create that presence and that growth that we have experienced, let's say, with Romania, if I can use that as an example. In terms of brands, indeed we are, especially on the Bostavan side, we are operating many, many brands, but they are not irrelevant. So all the let's say the sub brands or the sub products, if I can call them this way, they are all relevant and they create volumes for this umbrella brand which is Bostavan. But we are indeed looking at ways to, one is refresh this brand for export markets, but also for our home market in Moldova. And we're looking at products that bring, or let's say that have a better fit for a refreshed brand. When we look at the M&A, so you're talking about the consolidation, indeed, it's part of our strategy, and we're looking to grow inorganically that direction as well. As always, we are exploring M&A possibilities, and we are, of course, we are exploring them as, let's say, closer to our home rather than further away, to make sure that any acquisition or any merger is has a high it has a high return on the investment or on what we have put into the other company. And the way we can do this is by having it close to our home market and being very closely involved in that acquisition. So we are definitely looking all the directions, and I hope that I've managed to answer your questions. Let me know.
Yes, thank you very much. And just one small additional question. We were talking about China. Anything going on there?
Well, China is of course, I'm sure it's on the radar of not only Purcari, but on many, many companies that are in the wine business. It's a growing market. The penetration with the adoption of wine as a drink is growing, so we are definitely, let's say, we have the near market, the Central and Eastern European, as a concentrated area of focus, and then of course we have China. We're looking at different models how to allow our growth in China, but we are definitely taking it seriously, and in fact we are now even developing specific brands that would resonate well with the Chinese market. So yes, I cannot tell you, let's say, specific activities that we're doing in China, but I can tell you that we are looking at China as also one of the key markets where we need to grow.
Thank you very much, and again, congratulations for the results and for all the accomplishment of your effort.
The next question comes from a line of Daniela Celeri of BT Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. I have two questions. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So my first one is about the CapEx for production capacity, and maybe you could give us a guidance for what we should expect for the second half of the year. And my second question is about the possible Lorimer exit. As I've seen it, it's still under discussions, yet how likely is the exit at the current state? Thank you.
Sorry, before you go, can you please repeat the second question?
Yeah, my second question is about the Lorimer exit. Selling of stake.
Let me take that one maybe first, and the okay. Team will comment on the CapEx. So Lorimer Ventures is an entity controlled by European Emerging Europe Growth Fund 2, which is a fund managed by Horizon Capital, the fund in which I am a partner. The Lorimer announced on Tuesday, August 13, the company that it has retained Wood and Company, the investment bank, to advise it on strategic options with regard to its stake. This decision comes following unsolicited expression of interest from a number of parties regarding Lorimer's stake. The company has made the notice public, as it should do according to regulation, and it was issued as a current report. I'm afraid I cannot elaborate more on that than what has been communicated already, to prevent any speculation or misunderstanding. I can only say that what I have always been saying, you know, I believe Purcari is a fantastic business, we are privileged to be an investor in the business, and that we believe it has a very strong potential for further growth for many years ahead, and of course, as a result, for significant equity appreciation. I also think the stock price, the current stock price, is below the intrinsic value of the company, and we hope the markets will realize that in some day, because Purcari continues to trade at a significant discount to other public wine companies, but also to other consumer stock in Romania, especially when you factor in the growth rate at which Purcari grows, much higher than other wine companies and higher than other consumer stocks in Romania. And the growth potential is, we believe, quite significant too. So that's what I can say. My role as chairman is less dependent on Lorimer's decision. At least for now, my intention is, of course, if the shareholders approve, to stay chairman of the company, independent of what happens with Lorimer's stake. That's a summary from my side.
Hey, Victor, here I will take the question about our capital expenditure. So everybody may remember we announced before IPO about our CapEx program for 3 years, beginning with the IPO year, of 55 million RON. So we try to stay in this announced budget. However, we even took the opportunity to buy at a very good price vineyards and a new platform for primary vinification in Moscovei, in the south region of Moldova, which is a very good platform for developing and to increase the capacity for red wines. So altogether, we made this year during 6 months around 20 million RON investment, and we still, as I mentioned, we still plan to buy till the end of the year another 50 million RON of investment. So we're a little bit ahead of what we planned as our sales are increasing, and we even started to build a new factory at Turkari, which to sustain it, its high pace of growth.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. And there are no further questions at this time. I hand back to Mr. Eugene Commendant for closing comments.
Yes, thank you. I think overall, if I can say that, you know, me being 2 months in the company, what's really strong in my eyes, it's not just the product that we have today. It's more the ability to produce this product in the long term. And as Victor just mentioned, you know, we are further expanding our capacity at Turkey, and we are ready for higher demands in the future. And I guess what I also want to mention is that on the M&A side, we're looking to grow in a way where the assets that we are acquiring, they are of a much higher value in our hands than they are in the hands of the sellers. And again, just to say that overall we are looking at a strong second half of the year, and we're looking forward to present good results again when we in the next call.